Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 441 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever this week. Coming up on the show, we'll be hearing from Kelly Jeffs over at the Lighthouse of what they've got in the run-up to Christmas. And talking of Christmas, Prebendary David Wright tells us about the Christmas services at St Peter's Collegiate Church in Wolverhampton. We'll be hearing from Natasha. She's got some great music on the way, so we'll be hearing from her. But first of all, There Is None Who Does Good is the latest play by Dave Pitt. It's on at the Arena on the 8th and 9th of December. I have some of the cast and the director with me now, Fran Richards, first of all. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, and you've got another challenge ahead of you.
I know, and this is all the cast.
This is the whole lot.
This is all of them, yeah, isn't that fantastic, three of them. Yes, another big challenge and a beautiful play by Dave Pitt. It's harrowing and dark. So yeah, a challenge, but it's fun.
Now, I like Dave's work because he never, ever leaves you without a few questions, and I think we're going to see that again in this piece, aren't we?
Yeah, we've decided to put a whole question and answer in to answer some of those questions, hopefully.
So the Q&A takes place after both events?
After both shows, yeah. And it'll probably be with some of the cast, myself and Dave, to answer some of those questions. I've read this play probably 100 times now, and every time I end up with different questions about what's going on, who are these people, what are they doing, who are we, why are we here on Earth?
Okay, well, those are some good questions. We'll see whether they do crop up in the Q&A. But let's start off with Lawrence, because you've got quite a pivotal role in all of this.
Yeah, I play Father in the piece, who is the kind of the head of the family, I suppose. It's quite a large family. There's in the story of the piece, there are 900 to 1,000 followers that have come to live in this settlement that we live in, and to try to show the world a better way of living, a way of living without sin, Jason.
And you say that like you think I'm a sinner. I hope I am in some way, because normally most fun things have been ticked off the list somewhere along the line. So I think, again, Dave Pitt has probably tested a few of the sins out just to make sure he knows what he's writing about here.
Yeah. Well, he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah. You've been reading this way too hard. But again, a challenge to bring to an acting role. Now, I've seen just a few moments of rehearsal, and it's obviously quite intense, and the characters you have to play are quite serious here.
Yeah, I think it is intense, it is serious. I think what's interesting about it is it throws up loads of questions and lots of big questions. But for me, one of the things that's quite pertinent and topical about it, I suppose, is that it talks about ideologies, in a way, or ideology, and what are the comforts of that, and what are the great things that can come out of people having a shared purpose and a shared ideology. But it also questions what are the risks or the dangers of that.
Mm-hmm. So, Andy, you've got... again, another role which has to take quite a serious look at your own life, I suppose, as it were, in your character, as well as then seeing how that affects others.
Yeah. Mac is a very interesting character to play, definitely. He's very intimidating, but at the same time very vulnerable and innocent, which hopefully the audience can see that and learn to love Mac. But yeah. Yeah, he's got a story, which, yeah, it's a difficult character, but I like.
But that gives you the chance to explore that in the rehearsal room as well, and over the next few days, as you're putting together the final version of this piece, you'll be getting input from Dave, as well as whatever Fran brings to this in her directorial role. So are you all sort of adding different parts of the character and seeing different things each time you've read the script?
Yeah, I mean, all three of us are sort of like putting in what we think Mac could potentially be. And, I mean, we had a read-through day and we was all pretty much on the same page, which is obviously really good. I think he's just going to keep on building and building, and eventually we have this finalised character.
So, again, that development and the character interactions and Dawn, for your role, tell us a bit about your character in all of this.
My character's called Christine, and she's... A very dedicated follower of this sort of religion, and she's very she wants to heal the world, really. She's got a very good heart, and she's very besotted really by Father, I would say, and wants to please, and is just a great character to explore really, because she's got lots of vulnerabilities, and I think that's what Father probably preys on in his sort of religion, his pact, that people who are flawed, people who have got people who are vulnerable, people who perhaps have got past that they've been broken in some way or hurt in some way, you know, that's how Father sort of, he promises to heal them, I suppose, and that's the attraction, probably part of the attraction.
Whilst also doing his bidding in his own way, and manipulating minds through the needs that the followers actually have.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I think for Christine, she, although there's not much age difference between Father and Christine, she's looking for a father figure, I think, and so is Mac. Obviously, there is more of an age difference there. But yes, I think that they all need something. They're all trying to find something, and they find it in this family.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Fran, this is all set around now.
Yeah, the whole point of the play, Dave, if you ever speak to Dave or if you come along and listen to him in the Q&A, Dave's point was that radicalism and extremism isn't just a Muslim issue, mm-hmm. and it's not something that happened years ago or in the past. It's happening now and it can happen to anyone, and that's sort of what this is about. So people say to us, when is it set? And it's like, now, but it could be in 10 years or 20 years ago, because mm-hmm. it's a problem that resonates throughout society over time. And where is it set? It could be set anywhere. It could be in America, it could be in Britain, it could be in Syria, it could be happening anywhere. And the point that Dave's trying to make by writing the play is that we're all susceptible to being preyed upon and radicalised in our own way.
Yeah, I mean, because when you look at the way in which different people's minds work, I mean, the group of people we've got here, you're representing people who aren't lacking intelligence, which is sometimes, you know, the way this is portrayed. Yeah. They do have vulnerabilities, but then everybody has a vulnerability, and they all need some sort of reassurance in their life. And from that reassurance, this whole story sort of stems from there, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And some of the questions that we've come up with are, especially around Father's character, you know, is Father using these people and manipulating them, or does Father genuinely believe that he's been given this mission to heal the world and help all these people? Does he feel like he can hear the Lord, and all these different things of actually what do we perceive Father as? And hopefully every person who comes and watches will perceive Father in a different way and therefore take something different away from the play. I think it's just about showing everyone and showing to the audience that within these characters they can see themselves and go, whoa, wait a minute, if it's happened to them, what do I need to be doing to make sure this sort of thing doesn't happen to me?
Yeah, and I say, with Lawrence in this role, you are quite manipulative. Have you drawn on your own inner thoughts on this?
It's all a leap of imagination.
We believe it. But again, though, it is quite interesting for you, though, to have people reacting to you in this way, because once you're acting, you are drawn in. You believe you're that part for a while.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the fascinating thing, because it does make you see how these things can happen and how people get pulled into behaving in certain ways as well, because of the way that people are responding and what that does. You know, I suppose that does things to your ego. But you can see, I don't know. So when Fran there was talking about extremism and how that touches people and then their views on it, people can justify what they do from any extent. So cutting somebody up at the traffic lights to retweeting, you know, the President of the United States retweeting Britain First tweets that have completely, you know, to pursue an agenda and then say that he's doing it because, Britain isn't looking after its problem with radicalism and terrorism, you know. It's fascinating how people can, the lengths that people go to and then what they can do to justify what they've done, and that's an interesting thing.
And often any group which is trying to get its own agenda across will pick up on a part of society which may seem perfectly acceptable to a right-thinking person.
Yeah.
It could be the message it will work if we do this, but actually you've got to look at what's going on behind the scenes, which gets you to the point where this thing is going to work, and how you're going to affect those who are just trying to carry on with their lives the same way as you are as well.
Yeah.
So it's certainly a challenging piece for all of you by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So, but well worth a little look. You can come along to Arena Theatre in Wolverhampton, arena.wlv.ac.uk, to find out more and to get tickets online. Or call the box office on 01902 321 321 and see this Arena production, written by Dave Pitt and directed by Fran Richards. Well, good luck to you all. Break a leg, as is required. That seems to be more fun productions rather than ones which are actually telling a whole story. But hopefully you'll feel fulfilled, and the Q&A will work very well for all of you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
In a moment or two's time, we'll hear from Natasha, but first of all, let's take a listen to her current single. Natasha Devine is out there releasing music. She joins me on the line now to tell us more about what's going on. Hello.
Hi.
So,
hello.
Now, is all well?
Yes, all well, and you?
That's good. Oh, yeah, we're coping, which is good. You've got some great work that you're doing at the moment with Gang in the Studio, where you are now. Tell us a bit about what's going on.
I have just released a single called Light of the World. It's about the future of love merging with technology, about AI and robotics and that kind of stuff. So next I'm working on my new album, and also in before that I'll have another release for Egypt Screen, which will be released on vinyl only. It's a very special release. And, well, lots of things going on, really.
Well, I mean, Light of the World, you've actually worked with Grammy Award-winning writer and producer Bruce Elliott-Smith, and that's whose studios you're in at the moment as we speak.
Yes, yeah.
When you're out there doing this sort of stuff, I mean, you're born in the Netherlands, you're living in London, producing electronic music. People who love the likes of Kate Bush, Sam and the Womp, Trad Attack, they're going to love your stuff. But you've got your own sound as well, haven't you, that has very much been born out of your upbringing, your background.
Yes, that's correct. I was born in the Netherlands, but my father is Dutch and my mother is Indian, but then she was born in South America, in Suriname. So as I grew up, I... I absorbed lots of different influences from all over the world, really, musical also. So that's how I created my own style.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but your debut album, you actually self-produced. So what's it like working with other people now?
Oh, it's really great. We're working with such great talented producers that I've been working with. It just makes everything so enjoyable, and it's really great, really. So, yeah.
But as well as all of this, though, obviously you've got a following in your own country, the Netherlands. You're also part of the UK scene. But equally, you've been doing great things in the likes of Greece, Egypt, Morocco, Sanam. People are picking up on your sound all over the world.
Yeah, that's true. It's great. And actually, next year I'm planning to do live streaming to perform before all of my worldwide fans. To connect with them more, so I'm really excited about that. It's really great.
And with the Song Light of the World, you couldn't help but get involved in a virtual concert, I suppose, in many ways. But it's another opportunity and another great way of sharing music. And obviously, when it comes to the turnaround on these things, you can get your music out there really quickly. You could write a song on the afternoon and perform it to your fans later on that day.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I think it's great because I find it really important that my fans can listen to my music all over the world very easily and also for free. So,
when you're doing something like this, finely crafted electronica, how are you choosing the sounds to use? Because it's not limited to you being able to play a woodwind instrument or brass or whatever else. You can pick any sound you like when you're working with your producers on this.
Yeah, that's true. And it was really great to work with my producer because it just goes back and forth with the track. So I give my auditions and then they come back with some great ideas. And then so it's really limitless. Really, like the sky isn't even the limit.
But picking up on samples of other people's music as well.
Well, mostly for music that I've heard like in other countries. So that's I relate a lot to say classical Indian music. So if I hear a sound from say a song that I know when I was little, I use those sounds. Just really get the sound of the instruments and the feeling that they bring, really.
Using many different ways to put the music.
Most definitely.
And how far away are we from the album?
January, I hope so. Early next year.
So an early gift for 2018. People can go out there and buy that and enjoy the latest set of sounds. And with Light of the World out there at the moment, and obviously that's forming part of an EP, it's quite exciting with everything that's going forward. And what should we be looking out for? Is there anything specific that you're really proud of at the moment that is coming soon?
The next release will be a very special version of my song Egypt Screen. It's about the bust of Nefertiti. I don't know if you've heard about it. it'll be a very special version, and it will be released on vinyl. So that's next.
Well, we'll take a listen to that. But meanwhile, thank you for joining us. Give us all the details for social media and your website, please.
Social media is Natasha Devine, or all social medias, really, and my website, natasha.com.
And Natasha is Nathassia. So
yes.
Is that a traditional spelling from the Netherlands, or is that from...
No, actually, it's a Brazilian name. So my aunt made it up. So she lives in Suriname. So Suriname is a country that's just above Brazil. So I don't really know why. That's amazing, baby. So.
Something a little bit different, but a great way of spelling it and making it nice and easy to get the website, which is what counts. So,
great. Be sure to follow me. Great. I love connecting with everyone. So.
Yeah, and interacting is a great way of doing it. And hopefully, we're working together. But maybe people are going to listen to a song and go, ah, I love that. And here's another great instrument for you to use on your next track. So that'd be good as well, wouldn't it? We'll see how that works out. Natasha, thanks for joining us. Thanks for having a chat. And keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great to be on your show. Thank you.
But you find me down at the Lighthouse at the moment with Kelly Jeffs, and we are sat in the Big Top pop-up shop. Tell me more.
The Big Top pop-up shop? Yeah. This is a fantastic exhibition we've got on at the moment in our main gallery.
But an exhibition you can buy?
It's an exhibit. Everything's for sale. So we're supporting Creative Wolverhampton, who in turn, there's about 10, 12 different artists who are in turn supporting Lighthouse Charity by any sales we get, so a little percentage towards the charity donations. And it's a really vibrant exhibition. There's some fantastic pieces.
And an amazing range of stuff too. There's different artistic styles that suit pretty much any wall.
Absolutely. There's animals and there's decoupage. There's oils. There's pop art style. All sorts. It's a real, real diverse exhibition, and there's some great opportunities for some Christmas presents as well.
Absolutely. It might be you want to go for something that a little bit more expensive, or just some of the lower priced items as well. That I can see stuff priced for anything from around a tenner through to about 150 quid on these walls.
Yeah, yes.
And more, actually. There's one's 400
absolutely.
Quid up there.
Especially some of the decoupage. I know one of the pieces took about 100 hours to make.
Wow.
So, you know, it does warrant having a pricier tag mark on it, but it's, you know, they're one-off pieces of work.
And things that you're going to love hanging on the wall for many, many years to come.
Absolutely. So the exhibition's on until when we break up for Christmas, 23rd of December. Yeah, come down during all our opening hours. It's accessible.
Yeah, take a little look, have a little round, because you'll probably be down here for some of the other fantastic events going on, and there's going to be a lot going on. December's a busy time for everyone. I know you had to put a double brochure together for all of this as well.
Absolutely, we've got a jam-packed programme. As usual, we have a great programme on offer. The biggest thing that's coming, hitting our screens shortly, will be Star Wars, The Last Jedi, which we've got from preview date on the 14th of December. Tickets on sale now, so if you want to come and watch Star Wars at your local independent, come and book tickets now. They're selling.
Selling fast, I'm going to guess, because that's going to be an absolutely massive one. And very much the sort of venue you're going to sit back and enjoy seeing a film in, and somewhat different to some of the bigger screen cinemas. And you're not going to be queuing next to somebody who's coming along to see about another 10 different films. You normally have a much smaller variety, but very well handpicked films on offer.
Absolutely. We've got a lovely Christmas menu on offer in terms of films. We've got the new film, The Man Who Invented Christmas, which is based on Charles Dickens writing Scrooge about, you know, the Christmas carol. And we've got a one-off screening of Elf on the 17th of December, which will sell out. So please, if you do want to come to that, get your tickets in advance. And we're running for a whole week leading up to Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life, because it's such an in-demand film.
And that's something to see at the cinema as well, isn't it? Again, it's not the sort of stuff... You might enjoy sitting around out on the setting at home, but there's nothing quite like going to the cinema, sitting down with a bag of popcorn, enjoying a drink from the bar and having a fantastic evening at the movies.
Absolutely. And again, on the 17th, when I mentioned earlier about Elf, we'll also be showing It's a Wonderful Life as well. And after the films are finished, we're having our annual mistletoe and mulled wine event in the courtyard, where we'll have the local choir and everyone can have a sing song and a glass of mulled wine and a mince pie. And it's a lovely atmosphere with the lanterns lit and really getting into the Christmas spirit.
So it's sort of Christmas that Dickens himself would probably quite enjoy to come along to had he been around today.
Absolutely. We've got the Victorian courtyard. It would lend itself really well, wouldn't it? Some great things on offer for Christmas.
And all that alongside many other events taking place, and some are festive, some less so.
Yeah, I mean, we're bringing back, due to popular demand, the National Theatre Live encore screening of Follies. This is going to be Saturday the 9th of December at 2 o'clock. Tickets on sale now. So this is the Stephen Sondheim's musical, set in New York, 1971. And it's starring Imelda Staunton, Tracy Bennett. It was almost sold out when we had the live of it. So we brought that back for the Saturday the 9th of December. So a great afternoon entertainment there on offer in the city. We've got lots of other great films coming up. We've had to bring back The Death of Stalin, which was so popular. We only had
kind of a reincarnation.
Yeah. we had to bring it back because it was so popular and loads of people missed it because we only booked it for a short run. So that's the new Armando Iannucci comedy, and it's very dark, but it's very, very funny.
Armando Iannucci has an interesting way with films, doesn't he?
He doesn't half. And also we've got Battle of the Sexes, which is the film about Billie Jean King and the ex-serial hustler Bobby Riggs. Emma Stone stars as Billie Jean King, the female lead from La La Land, who won the Oscar. And Steve Carell plays Bobby Riggs, and apparently he's absolutely... the doppelganger is a real spitting image. So that's interesting. We're also bringing back another film that was really, really popular called Loving Vincent, which is an animated film, but each frame was hand-painted.
It's like an oil painting, yeah, every single one, isn't
every
it?
Every single frame is like an oil painting in the style of Vincent van Gogh. But also, it's a really interesting story, you know, about the lead up to his death, and it's very intriguing and it's a bit mysterious. It's a fabulous film. But the real, real popular one we've had to bring back again...
And this is because you want to go and see it again as well.
Yeah, is Paddington 2. So again, leading up to Christmas week, that starts the 15th of December. What a fantastic way to spend, you know, with the family. It's a pure family film. It's not just for children. It's on all levels, it's a fabulous film.
And a massively star-studded cast as well.
Absolutely. You've got Ben Whishaw, obviously, who's playing Paddington. Sally Hawkins, great actress. Hugh Bonneville, Julie Walters, and Hugh Grant, he plays the baddie. That's fantastic. And on the 18th of December, we started doing a film screening every month called Baby Love, so you can bring your babies in to a morning screening. And we've got Paddington 2 on the 18th of December at 10:45, so you can bring your babies along, whether they're crying, sleeping, feeding, whatever.
There'll be a lot of others doing the same thing.
Environment, yeah, for everybody.
All of that on offer. Lots of events as well. Check the website to see what else is going on, I think.
Absolutely. I won't go into January now, but please look at the website because we've just got some amazing new films coming through. And then we'll naturally be leading into award season, so it's going to get really busy.
So light-house.co.uk. And the box office number if people want to get on the phone and book tickets?
Wolverhampton 01902 716055.
So 716055, stick an 01902 in front of it if you're calling from your mobile. But come along, use the lighthouse, have a fantastic time down here and see some brilliant movies in a wonderful setting. Kelly, thanks for having a chat.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Jason.
Let's take some more music from Natasha now. This is Parasite.
The fragile, acting like a savior. Exceptional rules, vicious and cruel. Now I'm feeling such a fool. Such a fool. Such a fool. All the time, waiting all the time. Charmers dressed in gold.
Yeah.
with Prebendary David Wright here at the St Peter's Collegiate Church in Wolverhampton. And obviously Christmas is very busy for you and the church. Lots going on.
Yeah, we've just started. We're just into Advent. You can see the one Advent candle burning on our Advent ring. So we're just into Advent. In 3 weeks' time, it'll be Boxing Day.
Which is quite scary in itself. It'll all be over as far as the present giving goes, but certainly not as we look through the time of Christ on earth and the stories that you will reminisce upon from there.
No, I mean, we've got a hugely busy time, but it's a great fun time. We start, our next busy service is Sunday afternoon at 3:30 when the choir are doing a concert. It's Benjamin Britten's Ceremony of Carols and some instrumental work from a number of our very talented choristers. That's at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, the 10th in St Peter's Collegiate Church. A host of services for guest organisations over the next few weeks. And then our main carol service is on Sunday the 17th at 6:30. That's the traditional 9 lessons and carols by candlelight. Then we move on to Christmas Eve, when at 4 o'clock we have our Christingle service, when 4 of those candles will be lit, mm-hmm. and we let children loose around the church, yeah. with their Christingles, the oranges.
And more candles.
And more candles.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of the two Ronnies and four candles. We've got 400 candles. We've got a lot of candles in church, and that's Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock. Then at 11:30 on Christmas Eve, we've got the Midnight Mass, and we have the Bishop of Wolverhampton with us this year. So that's also by candlelight, so more candles for the Midnight Mass. And then on Christmas Day, we start very early at 8 o'clock with a very quiet said Eucharist. And then 11:15, slightly later than previous years, 11:15 this year, we start on Christmas Day with a choral Eucharist with our full choirs, and just a lovely, lovely Christmas morning feeling.
And all that will nicely fit around either getting up and getting the presents done early if the kids are coming to the 11:15 service, and then back in time for lunch and the chaos that will ensue before the Queen's Speech.
Yeah, absolutely. Up in time for breakfast, few presents, come to church for the 11:15, go back, have your lunch, fall asleep. Sounds a bit like my pattern for the day, to be honest.
It sounds quite good, yeah. It sounds like a really good plan. But obviously, there's lots of services which are going to be so much fun in there. You've already mentioned the Christindle, and that one is about getting the kids together and with 400 candles in church. And do the little bits of fruit around the edge tend to survive to the end of the service, or do they get nibbled on before you know it?
I would say the younger they are, the less likely the fruit is to survive. as they're walking up. Of course, the thing is, you've got a candle that's lit and you've got fruit sticking out. And what you're trying to do is make sure that children neither set themselves on fire nor jab themselves in the eye with a cocktail stick while they're trying to eat the fruit. So it's quite, you know, we do take great care. You know,
absolutely.
I jest, but we take great care. We ask parents to take great care with the children.
I recall toasting raisins as a child, but there we go. So lots to go on. And obviously then into the post-Christmas period as well. Plenty more services there. And again, following the story as the wise men arrived and met the baby Jesus for the first time.
Yeah, we have a couple of days closed after Christmas. We're closed on the 26th and 27th because I think folk work so hard, we give them a well-deserved rest. And then we celebrate the Epiphany, the feast of the coming of the wise men, on Sunday the 7th of January. And in the morning service, 11:15, we'll be remembering that. But especially in our 6:30 service, it'll be an Epiphany carol service where we journey around the church, three wise men, well, or three people who may not be that wise, but three people portraying the wise men, journey around the church with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And we set the crib scene up in front of the altar and we lay the gifts there and we sing carols. It's a lovely, lovely sort of music and movement. And again, it's candlelit because we love our candles. Mm-hmm. Here at St Peter's this time of year.
Absolutely, all works really well. So lots to come, and the website as well if people want to find out more.
wolvescentralparish.com. The best place to go is our Facebook page, because that's updated really, really regularly. Just look for St Peter's Collegiate Church on Facebook and everything's on there. Lots of events created on there already. So you can just sort of click on that and find out more information.
Well, Prebendary David, have a fantastic run up to Christmas. Enjoy the rest of Advent. Have a great time over the festive period. And we look forward to seeing you over the next 12 months.
Jason, I'll do that. And you have a good time over Christmas and a good rest afterwards.
Fingers crossed. That's all for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Back with episode 442 next week. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.